Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. This is
good morning.
Now the end of the first week of September, so we've you've had your wedding, we've had Labor Day, we're off into the fall. We have lots of retreats actually coming up in the fall, and back in New Hampshire, it'll be fun. And we're taping. Actually coming up this next week, we'll be taping some courses for us. So that's going to be quite enjoyable and fun to do more material that we've developed and then get that out there, you know, for courses. So
right. It's always... Before you even go on, I wanted to interrupt you on that because I have heard a few different people recently ask about the online courses. And just since you brought this up and they were asking specifically, are they good for small groups?
Yes.
And so I just wanted to highlight any of our listeners who have seen such an impact on their life from this material. This is how you help translate that to your small groups. Absolutely. So it is phenomenal material that you can start them out in that abiding course and then build from there, because everything foundationally lies on the abiding course, the first one. And then the rest, there's so many on there that are absolutely designed for small groups. So if you haven't checked out the website on that, it's time to check it out.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, it really works well. Actually, I just worked with a woman this week who's going to do a small group and how it's best done. And usually, if they can meet, you know, weekly or every other week, what they do is we get them signed up for the courses, the individual participants, and we'll give you coupons. It's $30 a course, but if people need some assistance, we'll give you coupons for that. And then the individuals watch the course and then come to the small group with the leader who we will work with to facilitate discussion, application, how it works, so that you get both the real good content with a workbook, by the way, and then you come into the small group and really process it in depth. So if you have an interest as a leader of a small group and want to use the course, basically email us, and you can send it in at questions@abideministries.com or info@abideministries.com, and we'll connect back with you and set things up to use it. But and then, by the way, people are finding this out as well, is after they've gone through abiding, then they want to continue this great content, and now you can use some electives. And we've got right now we've got 19 online. We've got five more that are being loaded up in the next couple months, and then we're taping another several, so we'll have lots of opportunity.
yeah
so that's a good call. Well, as we're finishing up this what we call abiding primer, to reinforce that it's not Bible study, but rather it's relationship, and then walking with God in the Word, in the life of God, in the connection to God, to allow Him to complete what He is working at, to demonstrate to us, show us through the Word, and to have it be life, and to have it be spirit and power. So it's not just intellectually learning about something, but rather it's staying with it until we experience it and we get to know God in this area that He's working in, which is resolution of life issues and circumstances and adversity, and then transformation. So let's do a summary. This is kind of a summary to, today, to put it all together. The one thing we'd like to start with is that if you're doing it as a Bible study, it's not going to be life to you and you're not going to see much happen. But if you're using it in an abiding way, it is life to you, and God is at work fulfilling what he says. And all we can say is stay with it until you experience it. And is this true? What's going on with me? There's an authenticity about it. That's why journaling is so important. Do I believe it? And then if I believe it, God's going to test that to say, are you experiencing it? And when you experience it and you now have it, he'll release you to the next thing. And he says, I had to learn this personally because I have such an interest in things. Rich, you were moving on too quickly to other things and you never finished it.
Right.
And so it was important to stay with it until I do. So let's revise it, or let's review it. Go to, first of all, John 15, 1 to 5, which we lay out as the premise of it all. So John 15, 1 to 5.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing.
Yeah. So again, remember, abiding and staying abiding is relationship. He says, abide in me, the vine. Christ is the Christ is the life. And abiding, a branch doesn't, you know, spend a few minutes on the vine and then the rest of the day not.
Right.
It's connected all the time. So it's stay connected to the life of God. And when you're abiding, think of a life of abiding, not a Bible study. It is centered on the Word of God, but it's because the Word of God is working 24/7 in our life. So he said, abide in me, stay in the relationship, let the vine dresser direct traffic. He'll be the one to guide you and lead you and help you with all your decision making. Our role is to be a branch, and that is to stay connected. He says, now, by the way, if the life is in the vine and the vine dresser is pruning, harvesting, doing all the decisions, and we as a branch stay connected to the vine, what happens?
He promises that we will bear fruit.
Yeah, we will.
Abundant fruit.
See, and that's the big, what we believe is the big aha of what we've been given to tell the church is that it's not about activity for God.
Mm-hmm.
It's fruit that comes from abiding.
Right.
And the fruit, think of the fruit in two fundamental ways. One is the transformation of my life, my heart, my soul into the life of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So that Paul makes a statement, it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. He doesn't say I don't live anymore or I'm not who I am, but it's Christ living in me and my soul, and it's his nature that is now operating within me because I have the privilege of that. The Holy Spirit's living within me. In Galatians, it said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. It's characteristics of God. That are transforming us. And then he says, I will demonstrate to you my power. So I'll show you supernatural. I'll show you healing. I'll show you the ability to bind and loose. So there's characteristics of God that we get to know as we abide. And that's one big issue of fruit. The second issue of fruit, actually, you can read this. Go ahead and read it while you're there in 7 and 8, John 7, 15, 7 and 8.
Sure. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples.
Yeah. And he's talking there that you're praying for your issues of life, adversity, decisions, things that aren't working, struggle, conflicts, all these things that we're going to face in the world of trouble. He says, as you abide, I will speak to these. I will give you promises. I will tell you what is my will. And he says, then you can pray that. Why? Because you now have received it, and it will be done. And he said, by this, change circumstances, things really being resolved. You know, having the, when we're stuck in the mud, we talked last time about being stuck in the mud and have our rock, you know, feet put on a rock. He said, when that happens, you will bear witness that God did it. And see, if we're going to bear witness that God did it, it means we didn't. and if we didn't, then it's not natural, it's supernatural. And that's the fruit. So he says, abide in me. And he, then he makes a statement in verse 5, apart from me, you can do what?
Absolutely nothing.
So as you're abiding, keep that in front of us, that my role is to learn to abide. Apart from abiding, the result will be nothing. And by the way, we experience that. We still get discouraged. We get resigned to things that aren't any good. We're not changing. I'm trying, but it's not working, because we're doing it intellectually and not staying with it abiding-wise. So apart from me, you can do nothing. He says, so stay with it. Then he tells us a couple of key elements of that. So go to 2 Corinthians 3. First of all, 4 to 6. 2 Corinthians 3, 4 to 6.
Sure. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
Yeah. So he says, first of all, the good news. He said, you're abiding. It's not related to your skill. So we would say, well, people that have gone to seminary are going to be better than us. No. Billy Graham was better than us. No. Henry Blackaby was better than us. No. My pastor's better than me. No. Or, hey, that person at church that seems to be able to pray really well is better than me. No.
In fact, we're called to come like children, right?
Yeah.
With childlike faith.
That's it. Yeah. And he says, no, he says the sufficiency to abide is God's work, not ours. So that means, and this is true, we see it in retreats all the time, people that literally have never abide in the Word or heard from God, His voice, in 3 days, learn to abide and hear His voice. Why? Because it's not about maturity. It's not about our ability. It's about God's sufficiency to give us equality about the process. Now, we will go through progression and, you know, in essence, think of going to school. You know, is a 10th grader in high school more sophisticated than a first grader? Sure.
Right.
Okay, now think about it. How come?
Simply because those building blocks have been built upon.
They've built on it and they've learned it. So that, you know, now they're taking calculus when a first grader has to do addition and subtraction. By the way, now think about this, is kind of cool. In order for that 10th grader to do calculus, what must they have learned? Addition and subtraction.
Exactly.
See, you can't leap to calculus. And that's where the church kind of fails, because we kind of bring judgment to people. Well, you should be further along. You should know what I know. You should believe what I know. And God says, no, I'm going to walk them grade by grade by grade. I got to teach them fundamentals. I'll build upon that so that, Rich, and this happened to me, when I learned healing, that wasn't the first thing I learned.
Right.
I had to learn walking with the Spirit. I had to learn hearing God's voice. I had to learn promises. There were a whole bunch of building blocks to that. And then he said, okay, you're ready now to go into learning healing and supernatural. Okay. I didn't want to get there faster because I would skip over the building blocks.
Right.
And then two is, as I got there, God says, now I brought you here, but Rich, you don't have ever a right to lay that on anybody else. So you don't tell them, well, they should know healing. I says, remember, I'm the vine dresser, not you.
Right.
They're working on something different. They're mm-hmm. in grade three, and you got into grade six. Now, by the way, your abiding isn't any better.
Right.
And their abiding isn't any better. It's just at a different place. Mm-hmm. So everybody start to realize, okay, where do you want me to start? I'll walk with you on my unique path. Apart from me, you can mm-hmm. do nothing. The sufficiency comes from God. And he says, if you read the scriptures as the law, what does it do? It kills you.
Mm-hmm.
What does it kill? The power of the Holy Spirit, the abiding connection.
Right.
Which is what produces fruit. So don't read it as law. Don't read it as should or I'd better or I gotta perform this. Or intellectually, it's just where does God have me? He says, because the Spirit, if you read the scripture as Spirit, it brings life.
Right.
And there's an indicator. And here's a question. Are you enjoying your abiding? Are you experiencing the life of it, even when you're being challenged by it? So when I was, you know, learning about healing, you know, God challenged me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do you doubt so much?
Right.
You know, what's your struggle here? But I was getting life from the Word, and I experienced that life. So even with that, it was a joy, see?
Right.
Because it's coming from God himself. So stay with it. If you're not experiencing life, you're doing it back to intellect, or you're not where God wants you to be. So, you know, keep processing that.
And even, can I just add in with that, keeping in mind that it's not linear. We are talking about building blocks, but it's not linear. And that path is not the same for each person because God has given each of us a unique life, unique sphere of influence, unique situations, and he knows what he needs to build into us next for what is coming around the corner.
Right.
And so the order of things that he would be building in us as we abide is not the same for any of us.
Right.
Because it is truly unique to the time and place and space that he has us in, that he's walking us and inviting us into his work.
Yeah. Yeah, and so. if you allow him in that vein to be the vine dresser, see, mm-hmm. it's a joy. Oh, yeah, sure, I'd love to do this. I'd love to be
right.
part of this. Because why? Well, God says this is the time for this,
mm-hmm.
and I'll give you life, and I'll give you the ability to experience it. So, and then go to, in the same chapter, go to 16 to 18.
Sure. It says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah. So he basically says that as you walk through life, abiding,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to start and lift a veil. Mm-hmm. There's something you don't really understand yet fully, or it seems fuzzy to you, or it's not clear to you. So I'm going to lift the veil. And then in verse 18, it says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to transform you. And the word there is metamorphosis,
mm-hmm.
Caterpillar to butterfly. I'm going to change your nature on this issue that I'm dealing with you, the characteristic of God, what I'm trying to get into your heart and your soul, and I'll transform it. And remember, he says it's a process of staying with me. So it's not like, for example, if I say, well, God, I would like to be more patient.
Mm-hmm.
So give me patience. just transform me, you know. And he says, well, I will. But you're going to have to walk with me because I have to get to mm-hmm. the truth of, well, Rich, why are you not patient? What causes you not to be patient? And it's how you see things. It's how you act and certain things, how you react. You got patterns in your life that I have to process. And he says one thing, by the way, if you have a heart to go,
mm-hmm.
If you try to do it on your own, you'll fail. Because mm-hmm. this is spiritual receptivity, not you performing. Because the harder you try to perform, the worse you'll actually get.
Right.
Interesting enough, we're going to talk about this actually in our next series. about the kingdom of God is if we try to do it on our own, we literally are doing things outside of his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't, it actually just gets worse. It gets, and you and wind up, by the way, in resignation.
Right.
I tried, couldn't do it. I tried and couldn't do it. And God says, well, walk with me. I'll transform you. Don't leave until I transform you. And you now, let's say I say, okay, I'm going to be learning patience. After, you know, 2, 3, 4, or 5 weeks, 2 months, 3 months of processing with him, there'll be a noticeable moment where I will say, and because I have situations that he'll put in front of me,
mm-hmm.
to say, do you recognize that you've spent 3 months with me and you're beginning to be transformed?
Mm-hmm.
It's not you, it's me, but you're receiving the fruit of that. And you see the significance
right.
of that?
Absolutely.
And then go ahead.
I was just going to say, as you mentioned that, I think, and it even this verse 18 reminds me, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, reminds me of Moses's encounter with God on Mount Sinai. And, you know, he's on the mountain, and when he comes down, his face is literally shining from being in the presence of the Lord. It is, you know, it's not something he even tried. He was in his presence by encountering God in this face-to-face place. It literally transformed him. And that is when we sit in God's word and we're encountering him, we're sitting at his feet, this transformation is his glory. The more we focus on him, the more his glory is beholden on us and becomes visible. We begin to look just like him, and his glory is emanating from us as he transforms us. It's a natural occurrence of simply being in his presence, of simply encountering him,
yep.
right?
Yeah. And then he says it's from glory to glory. So it's step by step, grade by grade. Don't worry about it. You're going to be being transformed the rest of your life. You don't get to perfection, but he doesn't have you do it all at the same time. He says from glory to glory, step by step. And then where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He says because one of the keys is you'll have freedom while you're being transformed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not when I get transformed, then I have freedom. He says, no, where the Spirit of the Lord is, and you recognize you're walking with me,
mm-hmm.
You'll have freedom. Okay, let's finish then with go to Psalm 111. And go ahead and just read that psalm, and then we'll conclude, what it all means in this psalm.
Sure. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are verity and justice, and his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever.
Yeah. So he says, spend time in the word, study and receiving his wondrous works, supernatural works. He said he's ever mindful of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to deliver you the covenant. I'm going to bless you to make you a blessing in every situation you got. I will, mm-hmm. I will command it. He says you can be assured of it. It'll come about in truth and power, and my supernatural work will be occurring. And he said the beginning of you being able to experience that is to follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with me, abide with me. And here's so the things we've learned is this. Are you enjoying what you're doing?
Right.
Are you receiving life? Are you experiencing God at work and starting to experience supernatural things occur? Because remember, it's not Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
It's God taking the power of what you're receiving and have you truly experience through his implementation of what he's saying. So if I'm asking for more patience, I see situations that occur, and I see, oh my, look at what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God just did something, and I can be reminded of that work, and I'm enjoying what he's up to.
Right.
So as we summarize all this, it's stay with it. Don't leave it until you've experienced it. Remember, if you're not seeing God at work, if you're not seeing life, if you're not enjoying it, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So go back to abiding, and you can contact us at any time and
right.
say, I'm a little bit stuck here. I want to learn this. I want to grow. I want to get more experienced in this. Could you help me? And we'll be happy to help you. So don't,
absolutely.
And people that you've done abiding retreats with or whatever, you know, don't just give up and mm-hmm. say, well, I'm back to the intellect and it ain't going to work. No, abiding works.
Right.
And it really changes. So go ahead.
Yeah. I'll just add in one more thing. When you're feeling in that stuck position, sometimes one of the most useful things you can do is literally go back, whether it's going back 2 weeks, going back 2 months, and reread your journals, and let that be fresh again from God. Just read what you have written down and make note of the scriptures that he's taking you to, and make note of the themes that he's been speaking, and also make note of anything that he highlighted that you left hanging.
Yeah, yeah.
Because sometimes that is where the greatest, it's like, okay, I wasn't done talking to you about this yet. And you kind of missed this one, and we get distracted and get excited about other things. And so that going back every few weeks or every couple months, whatever pattern works for you, going back and just making sure, revisiting what he did speak and what those verses are and the things that he was calling you to, and making sure you actually did flesh them all out. And sometimes the Spirit will stir something that just springs off of one of those. And so I think it's just such a fun way to, I don't know, reboot or jumpstart your abiding again too, is simply to see what he's already been saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we pray that you enjoyed this series, little series, and that you go deeper into it. Learn to do it. Don't let it lay there with nothing happening, but rather abiding and how to have life from it is critical. So, Father, we thank you for the truth of this. Thank you for this little mini series that reminded us that your words are powerful. They're life. They're spirit. They're you. We can live it, we can receive it, and we can see real things happen in our life because of it. And all we have to do is stay with you. And so we pray that we'll learn that we'll be authentic with it, that we'll learn the power of journaling, and that as we do, we'll be marketers of the fact that this is the life, because apart from you, we can do nothing. And we praise you and thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much, Rich, and thank you for joining us. If you have any questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.